Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
That is the sound of the spotted hyena, which for the last 30 years has been heard not just in sub-Saharan Africa, but also in the hills above Berkeley, California, where a network of scientists has been collaborating to unlock the secrets of what may be the strangest gender bending known to mammals. But you won't hear those sounds in Berkeley for much longer because the world's only captive colony for hyenas is closing down for good over the next couple of weeks. Vicky Croak, who covers the animal kingdom for Here and Now, is with us to explain. Hi, Vicky.
Thank you, Jeremy.
So when people think of hyenas, they may think of the giggling animals in The Lion King. But as you say, and as research shows, there is a lot more to their story.
That's right. We don't appreciate hyenas, and we haven't since the time of Aristotle. We've thought of them as cowardly scavengers. And in fact, they hunt prey, their own prey, more often than lions do, like 95% of the time. So they do occasionally scavenge. But as one of the researchers said to me, that's what we do when we go to the grocery store ourselves. So we shouldn't be worried about that. Spotted hyenas are big and they're beautiful. They can be as much as 190 pounds, but they're more likely to be 130 or 140 pounds, the size of my Irish wolfhound. They're built a lot up front. They're powerful in the front and powerful heads, and then they slope down to smaller legs. And they may have a doggy face, but in fact, they're more closely related to cats. They're also very formidable predators, and they eat everything from an animal. They crunch bones, as one researcher said, like popcorn. They're extremely intelligent. In fact, their intelligence and social skills have been compared to baboons. And they're capable of deceiving one another, which we humans think of that as real intelligence, and I think that says something about our own species.
That we can deceive anyone we want to, but to have another animal do that is quite a surprise.
That's right, and we seem to admire it in other animals too. On top of that, the people who study them really love and admire hyenas. And we've got a little clip from Lawrence Frank. He's the ecologist who studied hyenas in the wild, and he started the colony in California with Steve Glickman.
For me, the greatest part of this whole experience was getting to know these hyenas as individuals and basically as their mommy. They are such cool, interesting, engaging animals as individuals.
And there is a really interesting fact about hyenas, which is that the females have penises.
That's right. And why they have them is a big issue to be sorted out. The complicated answer would start with male genitalia may, in fact, be part of why hyenas are such terrific mothers, and they're really good mothers. Spotted hyenas live in big clans, as many as 80 animals to a clan, and they're extremely hierarchical. Alpha females are at the top, lower-ranking females, and then at the very bottom are the males. So the girls are bigger, and they're more aggressive than the males, and that's important at a kill, where higher-ranking animals and their offspring get the best seats at the table. They can bolt down something like 40 pounds of food at a sitting. And the alpha female and her children get the best place. Lower-ranking males, they just have to eat sometimes skin and bones, which they can eat. But the big point is that those alpha babies are sometimes twice as large as lower-ranking babies. So a high-ranking, aggressive mother is going to do better by her children. And so the more aggressive you are in the hyena clan, the more you'll eat.
And one wonders if it is a burden for the female to have that.
Absolutely it is. I mean, the female can urinate through it, and she even gets erect when she's excited. But giving birth through it, that's a real challenge. So much so that there's a really high mortality rate for both the mothers and the babies during labor. Penis is not a good birth canal. And one male reporter wrote that it's like pushing a golf ball through a soda straw.
Okay, well, with that image in mind, let's move on. What about this colony that was set up in California that's being closed down? Why not just study them in the wild? Why was this colony set up in the first place?
It's a nice addition to the work that's come out of the wild. And there's so much that's different about hyenas besides their strange anatomy. They're born with their eyes wide open and their canine teeth already exposed. They can attack a twin right after birth, and they do that sometimes. They appear to be immune to anthrax. And the colony began with Lawrence Frank. He'd studied spotted hyenas in the Maasai Mara in Kenya in the 1970s, and he ended up bringing 20 cubs back with Stephen Glickman in 1985. They bottle-fed them and established the group. Initially, it was set up for just the purpose of understanding the role of hormones on behavior and the female anatomy. The females have a lot of male hormone, and if you give other female mammals, including humans, a lot of male hormone, the genitals do become masculinized to a certain extent, females developing a penis-like structure. In hyenas, it's really complex interaction of hormones that occur in the womb with the developing fetus. The interesting thing is that the hormones don't tell the whole story of the hyena's unusual anatomy. You can block the hormone and still get that structure. So this is one of the things that they're right in the middle of studying when they're having to shut down the colony.
So a lot more to learn about hyenas. What about the incredible vocalizations? I know they are nocturnal hunters, but are they basically talking to each other at night?
That's exactly right. They're social hunters. They work under darkness. So they communicate a lot by sound to one another. And researcher Frederick Tunison shared some recordings with us. The first is that famous hyena giggle.
Oh my gosh, they really sound like they're having fun.
But as Lawrence Frank says, a laughing hyena is not a happy hyena. The giggle conveys nervousness, so it's usually used in an intense social situation. We also have what's called a slow whoop, and it's providing information from one individual to others. And this may have a kind of signature the way that we think that whales do. It provides a lot of information about who's whooping and what they're doing.
What is he saying there, or she?
Well, I'm not sure what they're saying, but the other hyenas know exactly what the hyena is saying, and here's how they respond.
So probably a lot of listeners listening to this and learning a lot about hyenas wondering why in the world is this colony closing down?
Well, a lot of their funding came, believe it or not, from the National Institute of Mental Health. And their interest was in the connection between hormone levels and aggression. And that's something that could help us with understanding all mammal biology, and that includes us, of course. That funding ran out after 22 years. They got some bridge funding from the National Science Foundation. But now that's gone, too. And it's taken them a really long time to find the zoos and sanctuaries to take these animals in. And Steve Glickman told me that he and the others are so attached to the hyenas and they've spent so much time trying to find good homes for them that they actually should have been spending looking for more research money. But by the middle of September, all the hyenas will be gone.
Wow. Well, and they're such fascinating animals, aren't they? Do they not have the same popularity of other animals that maybe somebody could swoop in and say, okay, I want to pay for the colony?
It's interesting. They've been so unpopular for so long throughout history. Even zoos often don't have them. People want to run and see lions, but they tend not to want to see hyenas. And they've been thought of as unclean, as hermaphrodites and scavengers, as cowards. And that stuff is all exaggerated or untrue. And covering the story, I have to say for me, one of the ultimate things that stays with me is the affection of all the people who have ever worked with hyenas have for them. Both Steve Glickman and Lawrence Frank spoke with such tenderness about one of their favorite females, Tuffy. And I have a cut of Lawrence Frank describing reunions with her.
I would go into the cage with her and she would still make little baby noises and hurl herself at me in great joy and cuddle on the floor. Just an extraordinary lifelong relationship with a large, potentially dangerous animal.
Lawrence was telling me that they were such wonderful, loyal companions that he feels like if the world had been slightly different, its hyenas would be walking around on leashes instead of dogs.
That would be something.
It would.
Vicky Croke, who covers the animal kingdom for us here at Here and Now, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And we've got some pictures of hyenas, some cute, some scary, at the Wildlife blog, which you can link to at our website, WBUR.org.
Fascinating.
Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.